Praise God. I greet you again today in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the title of the message this morning is Fear Not. Fear Not. And this is part two. And we're going to continue with this. There may even be a part three. But we're going to be looking at different sides of fear this morning. And the scriptural reference is also found in your bulletins for the memory verse. It was taken from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And the Word of God tells us there, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind." So God wants us to know that, you know, when fear arises, that it's not from Him. But He tells us what He has given to His people. He's given us power, love, and a sound mind. Let me hear you say that. I have power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because, see, fear brings torment. Fear causes people, God's people, from going forward. And that's just a tactic and a trick of the enemy. And God desires that we move forward in Him. I believe a couple of weeks ago that was the title of the message that Pastor Lewis brought forth, Moving Forward in God. I believe that's what it was. You know, and that's what He's called us to do, to move forward in Him and not to allow the tactics of the enemy in what way, shape, or form that they might come. And usually it's in, you know, whatever it is, it's based in fear to keep you from going forward in God. Amen. Last week we looked at some of the definitions of fear. And from the dictionary, and these are just a few. Fear may be defined as to be afraid of, to cause fright, to have terror or horror, to cause dread, alarm, fearful emotions. Those are some of the definitions of fear. It may also be defined as a reverential awe towards God Almighty. A reverential awe towards God Almighty. Amen. We saw last week in looking at fear, the reverential fear of God, that side of it, having an awe or a respect, a high respect of God. We saw that there are covenant blessings promised to the people of God. And, I mean, we didn't look at a lot of them. We just looked at a very, very few. We looked at, you don't have to turn there. We looked at Psalms 115, verses 11 through 15. And there the Word of God tells us that those that fear the Lord, He will bless those that fear Him, both great and small. And then He goes on to say that He will increase you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. These are promises to those who fear God. He promises increase. He promised that you're blessed if you fear Him. Have a reverential awe of Him. Amen. We also looked at Psalms 111. You don't have to turn there now. We looked at verses 5 through 10. And there the Word of God said, "For those that fear God, He has given meat." Meat meaning food, provision. He said that He'd also give the heritage of the heathen. Aren't these tremendous promises? Amen. To those who fear Him. Amen. The heritage of the heathen, praise God. And then He went on and He promises in His word that He would give wisdom. How many love wisdom? Amen. Hallelujah. Good. God wants us to love wisdom. That's the most important thing that we should all desire before money, car, house, anything. We should desire the wisdom of God. And God says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all they that do His commands. Amen. Praise God. And then we looked at Psalms 112, verses 1 through 13. And there the Word of God talked about those that fear God, that our seed meaning children, would be mighty upon the earth. The man that fears the Lord goes on and promises that wealth and riches will be in the house of the one that fears the Lord. Amen. And there are so many, many promises in the Word of God for we who will fear God. So I encourage you, if you don't have a fear of God, to begin to pray, "Lord, help me to have a reverential fear of You." Amen. And He'll give it. Amen. Praise God. We're going to look at a few scriptures, but before we do, I want to just remind you, last week I gave the example of a parent and a child. And I think everybody here can identify with this. If you have a godly parent, then that godly parent is going to give you certain rules and regulations, things that you're to do and things that you're not to do. And they do it because they love you. And even though you may feel like, well, this is not necessary or it's not fair or I don't need it, well, when you have a fear of that parent, then you're going to obey them. Because if you don't, you know that there are consequences. And the same thing is true with God. When his people don't obey him, he gives us his laws, his rules in his word. And there are consequences when God's people don't obey them. And he tells us when we don't obey, what happens. But when we obey, then that's when the blessings come. Amen? If you're a parent, I'm sure you can identify, you're not going to let your child just, run out in the front of the street in the street because you know that cars and trucks go there. So the child may not understand that. They might say, well, gee, I have more fun playing out in the street, or I have a bigger place to play in. But then that child goes out in the street. They don't have to do that but one time. Then that parent that's a godly parent, they're not going to say, okay, do what you want to do. They're going to discipline them. Most times they're going to spank them, and they may even punish them too. Why? Because they love them and they know what's best. They know that by keeping them from going in the street, that their lives will be spared. And it doesn't have anything to do with age. God is God. Amen. So he's all knowing, he's all powerful, and he always has our interests. He always has our welfare, the best in store for his children, no matter how old. I don't care if the person is 1,000 years old. We'll never, have the wisdom or the knowledge that God has, because he is God. Amen. But we can increase in it. Amen. Praise God. So, God wants us to reverence and honor our parents because they know what's best, even when you've gotten older. With my parents, I knew even if they got old, I still listened to them. Even if I was married, I can remember. I didn't plan on telling this. Pastor Lewis and I were married. And if we went out somewhere, we went to visit my parents, they wanted us in the house at a certain time. You said, well, you're grown, you're married. Right. But that was their rule. Amen. So that was their house. So we were to honor them in doing that. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then, I'm not going to go into it, but parents will explain why they have the rules and sometimes they don't. But still, you have to trust that parent. Well, the same thing is true of Almighty God. He wants us to honor him. If we can honor our parent, how much more should we be able to honor and reverence Almighty God? Isn't that right? Amen. I say amen, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Word of God tells us in Psalms, we're going to look at a couple of scriptures about fear, fearing God, and we're talking about, types of fear. Now, God wants us to have the type of fear where we fear him. That's a good kind of fear. Isn't that right? Amen. But he doesn't, before we look at scripture, he does not, say, for example, another type of fear, another side of fear is, I'm going to call it natural fear. Humans have natural fear. Somebody else might define it as something else. You have a fear. You're not going to go stand on a railroad track where trains go by. Why? Because if you're there, it's a possibility of that person getting run over. And there's a fear, right? See the train coming, you cross, you're going to get out of that truck as fast as possible if you're even driving your car. That's a natural fear. Another type of fear would be, you know better than to put your hand in a flame, because natural law means you get burned. You know better than jumping off of a real tall building, because you know what happens. So, yes, there is that type of fear. But then God wants us to have, you know, that. But we're going to look at another type of fear. Other fears he does not want us to have. That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. So, yes, there are different sides of fear. It's the fear we're supposed to have towards God, fear that we're not to do certain things. Just like I mentioned, I call that, natural laws or natural fear. Somebody else might call it something else. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalms 34. Because God's promised divine protection for those. It's a good thing to fear God. Amen. Praise God. Psalms 34. And when you found it, can you say amen? I'm going to be reading Psalms 34, verses 7 through 10. And the word of God says, starting at verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that what?
Fear.
That fear him and delivered them. What else does the angel do?
Deliver
them. You know, many times you can think about, well, gee, you know, I don't know how I got past that. Didn't have that accident. Why? The angel of the Lord was there. Things should, you just think, well, oh, I just did it, or my foot hit the brakes. The angel of the Lord is there to help deliver us, protect us. Amen. Even things, danger seen as well as unseen. Verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Verse 9, oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. For there is no want to them that fear him. What happens when we fear God? There is no want. Amen. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Amen. So it's all about relationship. It's about obedience. When you fear God, it's not just enough to fear him. You must also love him. Amen. And if you fear and love God, then you're going to obey him. You're going to do what this word says, whether it's comfortable, whether it looks like it's not working out. You're going to do it. Amen. Why? Because you love him, you fear him. If you love and fear him, you trust him. They all go hand in hand. Quickly turn to Psalms 103, please. Psalms 103. How many love the word? Amen. Praise God. And we're just going to look at, starting at verse 11. Psalms 103, starting at verse 11. I'll be reading 11 to 18. As for the heaven is high above the earth, great is his mercy towards them that what? Fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far have he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that what? Fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourished. For the wind passed over it and is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that, say it, fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Amen. And so, here we see that not only, is the blessing coming on the parent or the grandparent, but it's also coming on the children's children. Amen. Because of that one that has a holy reverence and awe of fear of God. And verse 18 says, to such as keep his commandments and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Amen. You can't fear God without obeying him. Well, I shouldn't say that. You can fear him and not obey him. But if you really have an intimate relationship with God and you love him and fear him, coupled together, then you will obey God. Amen. You will obey him, and you'll obey him out of a heart of love. He's amen. Amen. Praise God. And so it's very, very important to have that love and that fear, that reverential awe of God, and to obey him. That's, you know, love commandments that Jesus gave. He only gave two. And that was to love God with all our heart, our mind, and our soul. And the second is like unto it. Love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. And if we do that, then, you know, the others won't be broken. Ten Commandments won't be broken. Amen. So we've looked at fear, the holy awe of God, the reverential fear of God. We've looked at the other side, the natural side, where man has been, have a measure of fear placed in them that they don't do certain things because of the natural laws, what happens if you disobey them. And then there's the other type of fear that we're going to look at this morning, is that there, God does not want us to fear things that are on this earth or to fear things that are going to be coming on this earth. Talking about the saints now. And he has equipped us, and it's time for his sons to come forth doing what his word said do. And he wants us to move in the way that he's called us to move. Now, the natural thing would be to fear. But say, for example, if there were a tornado coming, and the tornado was coming, you knew it was coming straight to your neighborhood. Well, maybe you didn't find out in time to stop it, but if you know it's coming, then as a saint and a son of God, you need to start praying against that thing and say, no, not my community. But if you waited and you just found out at the last minute, you see it's in your community, then what do? You get, go somewhere, you know, down to the bottom, wherever it is, you know, where you're supposed to, but then you, as you're going, you be speaking the word of God. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over this place. I plead the blood of Jesus over myself. If your family's not there, you be pleading the blood of Jesus, and you speak to that thing. No, you don't. You will not touch down here in the name and the power and the blood of Jesus. You leave in Jesus' name. God's given us that authority as his sons to do that. But if you're fearful, you know, you just be running, trying to hide. And then there goes your house. But not here, amen? You know, so God wants his people to realize who your sons. It's time to walk in the maturity that Jesus said that you would walk in. And I know some of you are. Some of us are. And there are those, many in the body of Christ that are. But God desires that for every single member. Now is the time, church. Because things are coming on, and are going to be coming on the earth. But God wants you to know that he's already equipped you to take authority and to move in his spirit. Amen? We just can't put our hand in the head in the sand and, you know, and be fearful. No. He said that his manifested sons would come forth. And the whole earth has been groaning. Well, this is it. Now's the time. We're there. You say amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you can't depend on another saint to do it for you. You got to do it yourself. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Praise God. And even, you know, things that are in your life today, things that you might be going through. Well, God has given us keys, and we're going to look at some of those keys to defeat fear. Keys to defeat fear. Fear. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And fear, you know, comes in a lot of different areas. A lot of different areas. And if we look at Jesus, Jesus constantly had the opportunity to allow fear to overrule him and to rule his life. And Jesus is our example. So he said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do. Amen. You know, if I don't preach and teach you the whole truth, then I'm the one that's going to be held accountable. So I'm just telling you how it is. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. But you, I believe each one of you are going forth. Amen. Amen. And you're going to recognize fear when it tries to raise its head. It tries to come against all of us. But we've got to recognize it and recognize what the Word of God says and use the keys that God has given us to use. Amen. An example. And when you look at Jesus, many people say, well, that was Jesus. He was God. But what many people don't feel really realize, yes, he was God. But when he walked on this earth, he walked on this earth as man. He was every bit God, but he was a man. And so when he did the things he did them as man. That's why he was called the Son of Man. To let you and I know that, yes, I did these things, but so can my people. Amen. And we've got God in us. Amen. You know, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. Dwells in every one of you and myself as well. When you think about Jesus, when he was on the, you know, when the storm arose, horrible storm. What the disciples should have done it. They could have done it. But they didn't. They didn't have God in them, but the Word of God says that he had given them power. So he had already delegated to them a measure of his dunamis. That word means miracle working power to do the same things that he was doing. And so he, you know, he cried out, Jesus said, what did he do? He spoke the word. He said, peace, be still. He spoke to the wind. He spoke to the wave. And that is what God wants everyone in the body to do. Whatever it is. And not necessarily natural disasters or, you know, or things like that. But it's other areas. Things that are going on right now in each one's life. God expects us to use his spiritual keys to defeat fear. Amen. Praise God. And you can do it. Amen. Whether it's lack of finances, and we, you know, talk about Jesus last week briefly, how he, you know, sent Peter to go get the money out of the fish. You said, well, you know, that was Jesus. Well, where is God now? The Holy Ghost. He's in us. How many times have I told you all, and I give God the glory, you know, how the Lord has just told me to go, and I go, and there's all these different rings, 18 karat rings. I mean, you know, all kinds of things. I didn't know, but he knew. And the last one was the fur coat. I mean, salt gold. You know, tell me, there it is. Well, he's no respecter of persons. Amen? But he is a respecter of our faith and our obedience. So just like that fish, Jesus knew that fish was there. He knows where it is. He knows what to tell us to do. He knows when there's going to be, you know, a blackout or something going on. And he said, don't go, don't go. Or if he says, leave early, get up and leave early. We're in the season where he's leading his people by his Spirit. And sometimes he'll let us know what's going to happen. Sometimes he won't give us the details and we just have to walk by faith. Okay, Lord, and just do it. Amen. Praise God. It's time for his sons to come forth. You're his sons. Every one of you. And you've got it. Say, I've got it. I've got just what I need from Almighty God to do the greater works. And you do. You do. Amen. Each one of you. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I have heard of testimonies of people, this was years ago, walking on water. You don't hear about things like that in newspaper, do you? You know, the newspaper's not going to do that. Tell you things like that. I mean, just all kinds of things that Jesus did have been going on, you know, throughout the ages. But, you know, the press isn't going to get that out. They get everything else out to you. A lot of it's not even the truth. But now we're at the season where it's going to be intensified. And I believe that God's going to get it out so that the world can see these things. You all know here, I've shown you videos and things, you know, where people have been literally raised from the dead. Do you see that on the news or in the tent? No. But it's going on every day. And it's time for the body of Christ as a whole to expect it and expect to be used by God. And don't be fearful. Because, you know, if somebody dies and you know that that person it wasn't supposed to die or something, then, you know, God says, go, you do it. Now, what's the first thing that fear is going to try to rise? Am I right? Well, what's the family going to say? Or what if the person doesn't, body, you know, doesn't, the spirit doesn't come back? All kinds of things. But God does not want us to move in fear.
Amen?
Amen. Praise God. To God be the glory. Some of the keys, I gave each one a copy of the keys. We're going to look at keys to defeat fear briefly. Praise God. Keys to defeat fear. These are some keys to defeat fear. We need to see above. And what that means, to see above the issues with your spiritual eyes. How many know you have spiritual eyes? Your spiritual eyes are in here, not these, right in here. Amen. See above the issues with your spiritual eyes. Whatever fear is facing you, be it lack of health, job, friends, money, transportation, etc. You can put whatever it is in there. See what God's word says. Because the enemy will try to get you to, you know, have that fear. Say, oh, you know, I don't have this. I don't have that. Or I won't ever. See, that's fear. But God wants us to see with a spiritual eye based on his word. Speak above. Speak above the situation or the circumstance. Speak what God's word says, not the problem. What you may hear, see, perceive, or feel. Speak the word of God, your covenant promises from God. That's what we have to do, church. These are keys. But even though you have keys in your hand, natural keys, Pastor Lewis can have keys, but if we don't use those keys to open the door, we'll never get in. You go home. If your door is locked, if you don't use your key, you won't get in there. Am I not right? So God gives us keys. It doesn't do any good to just have the, oh yeah, I got these keys in my hand I got today. Are you going to use them? On a consistent basis, amen. Act above. Act like what God's word says you are and what you have based on God's word. Based on God's word. Share or sow. Share above or sow. And share below. So recognize who your increased blessings answers come from. And sow above. That simply means sow back into God's kingdom. And below, sow on earth into the lives of others as God directs. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. So these are some spiritual keys. Amen. And we're going to talk about them briefly. Praise God. When the first one, sow, and you might want to, you know, write something in, but sowing above, while Jesus was on this earth, and there are a lot of areas, we listed some areas, we're not going to touch on all the areas, but looking at Jesus, you know, he had the opportunity to not believe the Father, to not say what the Father said, because Father God is a spirit. Amen. He was born in this earth just like you and I. He came as a baby, except he was born of a virgin. Amen. Now, so he had, you know, he had to learn. He didn't have the Bible like you and I have it. So he had to have that relationship with Father God so that he could hear him. And he had to come to a place where he could, you know, he could trust him. His family, he had brothers and sisters. It doesn't say a lot about his sisters, but, you know, they did not receive him as the Son of God. How many know that was not a comfortable place for him? The people in his own hometown, they didn't receive him. You just say, oh, this is, you know, this is Joseph's son. That's why they missed out on their time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. That's why they were not able to receive from him, because they thought they knew him. So they missed out. Now those things, you know, the word of God says that he was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. Let's talk about Jesus. You might feel like, well, you know, I don't have any whatever. But whatever it is, you've got to see above, because you do have it. It's already yours. I don't care what it is. It's already yours. And just like Jesus, you know, his disciples, he knew that they were going to desert him. They deserted him. at the time that he needed them most. His family wasn't there. It was just him. But he had a friend that was closer than anybody on this earth. And that friend he had was Father God. And you have the same friend. If you develop that relationship with him, you might say, well, I don't have very many friends. If you have God as your friend, you got the best friend of all. Amen. And he's the best person to hang around with and to hang out with of all. Because he will teach you, lead you, guide you, and direct you in every way that you need to go. Amen. And as you rest in him, those friends, if that's your area that you feel like you might be lacking in, he'll bring them. You don't want them anyway if they're not who God wants for you. You better believe that. You'll be sorry. But if you wait on God, he'll send the best one. Singles, he'll send you the mate he has for you. His pick. It'll be best. Amen. And until then, you know, rest in God. Amen. Well, okay, Lord, praise God. So Jesus, you know, he said he knew that the Father would never leave him nor forsake him. Turn to John 16 in your Bibles quickly. And God wants you to come to that place, if you're not there, where you know him in that intimate relationship in that way as well, regardless. Amen. To see above. That's what Jesus had to do. He had to see above. His situations, his circumstances, people always saying, you are, they call him Beelzebub. Who's Beelzebub? The devil. He said, they would say, you're the devil. What you just did healing that person, you did it by the power of devil because you're the devil. How do you like that people be, I mean, these were prominent people. These just weren't, you know, everyday people, common people. They were prominent people. So people listen. A lot of them listen to these. Oh, yeah, they know what they're talking about. They're in the higher up. But Jesus had to deal with all that, and he only did what was good all the time. Amen? Praise God. So maybe you're being persecuted on that job, in school, or in your family. Well, you're in good company. Amen? Praise God. So just react the way that Jesus did. Let's look at, we want to look at John 16. Let's look at verse 30. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needeth not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest from God. Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered. Talking about his disciples, every man to his own and shall leave me alone. You think that made Jesus feel happy? No. But he had to look above. He had to see above. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you that in me, ye might have peace. What do we have in God? He wants us to have peace in him. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And if he's overcome the world, then he wants us to know that we are technically overcomers too, but he wants us to be experientially overcomers, to move in it, to walk in it. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Another key to defeating fear is to speak above. To speak above the word of God in faith. Speak it in faith consistently all the time. Whether you feel like it, whether it seems like it, whether anybody says it, you have to speak it in faith yourself. You might say, well, I'm saying it, but it's not in faith. Then as you speak it and get in God's word, your faith will increase and it will be in operation. It will be. Amen. Praise God. That's so very, very important. Jesus, he was tempted in every point, the word of God says, just like you and I. As a matter of fact, he was tempted in areas that you and I, some of the areas that we will never be tempted in. But every area that man was tempted in, Jesus was tempted in it too, but without sin. He never sinned. Now, that Jesus was tempted in the areas that the devil tempts every person on the earth. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And I'm not going to teach on those. But those are the only three areas that the devil has. And all he does is changes them, dresses them up, but they're all the ways the same three things, different ways that he brings it. And so, you know, one of the areas he was tempting him was, you know, he knew Jesus was hungry because he had been fasting. So he said, well, if you be the Son of God, trying to put doubt in his mind, fear, because he's trusting the Father now, who's in heaven, what he's shown him and told him, because he didn't have anybody around him to encourage him and say, well, you know, I read this in the Bible about you. No Bible. But Jesus knew because he had heard from the Father, and then when he read the scrolls and things, he was able to say, this day the scripture's fulfilled in your ears. This is me. In other words, he's standing before you. That's what he was telling them, but any rate, so he said, he used the sword of the Spirit. He spoke above. And he said to the devil, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So he used his own word. He used the sword of the Spirit on the devil. Now, if Jesus had to use the sword of the Spirit, what do we have to do? He had to speak, use his own words. We have to speak above the situation, the circumstances that face your life and my life. We want to see a change? Then God's given us the power to bring the change into this manifested, into the realm that we're in. Jesus has done his part. It's up to us to do our part. It's up to us to use the keys to defeat fear. Turn to James in your Bible. So I want us to read this together quickly. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And when you found it, can you say amen? Praise you, Lord, for the word. Amen. James chapter 1, after the book of Hebrews. Praise you, Lord. James being a half-brother of Jesus Christ. James 1. Let's read verses 5 through 8 together. Ready, read. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Amen. So, you know, God wants us, whether you're asking for wisdom or whatever, you're speaking to bring into this physical realm. He wants us to do it in faith. He doesn't want us to say, oh, well, it's not working. I did it for 10 days and I don't feel any better. And the doctor said, da, 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 da. No. We got to stay in faith. We got to continue to say what God's word says. And that's not meaning that you don't share with anybody. Say if you have a mate, you know, that is a man that's going to, or a woman that's going to stand with you in faith, that you don't share it with them. Or if you're single and you have a prayer partner that you know that, you know, is going to believe with you and not go out saying, well, you know, so-and-so is going to die in so many days. But it's going to stand with you. Then you can share with that person. But I'll tell you in a minute, don't tell everybody. Because everybody is not going to speak life over you. Amen. And sometimes it's better just to keep it to yourself between you and God. You say, well, I don't have anybody. Yes, you do. You got the best partner of all, Almighty God. You and the Holy Ghost are a majority. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Second Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 says, for the promises of God in him are yea and amen. The promises of God in him are yea and amen. They are yes and so be it. That's the promises of God. So you need to find the word, the promise that lines up with what you are asking and believing God for. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Another key to defeat fear, praise God, is having a Christ-like character. God expects us, he calls us saints, not ain'ts. Amen? Saints. Amen. Yeah. I didn't say ants, I say ain'ts, A-I-N-T-S. Praise God. He calls us saints. And so if he calls us saints, he expects us to demonstrate Christ-like character. And you know the enemy, he's always trying to bring, you know, not to try to stop a saint from doing just that. But you don't have to yield to the temptations. Amen? Praise God. God has given us so great an inheritance. Amen. He wants us to act above. Sometimes, you know, different things have happened to believers, you know, before they were saved. Sometimes, you know, during the time after they were born again. And they have an inferiority complex. Feel like, you know, well, I'm just a nobody, or this happened to me. I'm not worth anything. Sometimes people have been raped. Sometimes people have been molested. Sometimes people have been lied on. Sometimes people, all kinds of things that can try to bring fear in the person's life. Well, I can't have anybody unless I let them, have my body first. They're not going to love me. Why? Because that seed was planted long, long ago. But you don't have to let that thing stay there. You can go free. Because whom the Son has made free is free indeed. Amen. You've got to begin to see who you are based on the word of God and act like it. Amen. Maybe you were addicted to drugs. Maybe a person, you know, used to shoot up, whatever. That's the old man. Somebody come to you and say, well, I remember when. Yep, but that's under the blood. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. I am a royal priesthood. First problem, look at you like you're crazy and just smile because you are. Amen. And so you walk in who you are. You act above. You act like Christ because he's in you. You belong to him. Amen. Praise God. Turn to 1 Peter. And I encourage you to put this to memory. Amen. In your Bibles, Peter is right after the book of James. We were just there. Visiting James. Now it's time to go visit Peter. Amen. How many like these visits? Hallelujah. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. So, you know, as you get in God's word, you begin to see, oh, yeah, that's what God says about me. That is who I am. And so when the enemy tries to bring fear and maybe you used to be a person that was a prostitute. And that, you know, there are male and female prostitutes, isn't that right? And you were on the block or maybe whatever. Here's somebody, you were a pimp for. And then you decided, you know, you become born again and you're living for God and the fear comes out. Well, you know, what if somebody recognizes me? So what? That's the old you. Amen. And as you go on with God, you know, you get stronger and stronger and stronger knowing who you are. Amen. So don't let the enemy bring fear in any area. Hallelujah. These are keys. Keys to defeat fear. Okay, look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Let's read it together. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. Now that's who you are. That is who you are. So don't let the devil try to bring fear on you to try to say, well, yeah, but. Say, devil, yeah, but you're on your way to hell. And it's real quickly coming. And then after that, the lake of fire. He don't want to hear that. He'll leave you real quick. You start, you know, telling him about his business. That I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm a chosen generation. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. And I do show forth the praises of him who brought me out of darkness, hallelujah, into his marvelous light. Amen. And then you start praising and worshiping Almighty God. As you start praising and worshiping God, I'm telling you, that silences the mouth of the enemy. The word of God says so. It puts him in feathers, his demons. They don't like that. Amen. And use songs with the word of God because you're sticking them using the sword of the Spirit. Amen. And the last one that I have for you is to share or sow above and share or sow below. Amen. And this is a tactic that the enemy uses against believers. I mean, and he's real subtle about it, too. Particularly when people start, you know, getting blessed, and even before they get blessed, he'll say, well, you know, you can't sow that. You can't tithe because you won't have this. That's fear. That is fear. And he knows that he can get a person not to sow up, meaning sow into the kingdom of God. He knows that he is got a heyday in that person's life. He knows that the devil can't really do anything against them. Because the covenant promise is for those that are tithers and givers. Then it says that God will rebuke the devourer for our sake if we are tithers and givers. These are spiritual keys. So he'll bring fear and he'll say, well, you know, don't do that. And he'll bring this to you. And that, remember, and he also knows that as long as that person doesn't do that, that they're not ever going to really reap the blessings that God has in their life. Because it's all tied into being obedient to do the whole word of God. Because it goes on and talks about the window of heaven blessings and all of those things come to the tither and the giver. But he uses fear. That's what he does. And then the other area is that he doesn't want the person to even sow below, meaning to sow into other people's lives. Well, they have enough already, or they have too much. I need it more than them. I'm keeping it myself. That's fear. Because he knows that when you sow, when you give, you're planting seed. And you can't plant seed and water it and not reap a harvest. And the devil knows all of that. And so even though a believer that might know it, he's going to come and he's going to bring fear in this way as well. But how many know that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind? Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus, we're going to look at the scripture as we get ready to close out. I hadn't planned on telling you this, but I'll be obedient, Lord. Pastor Lewis and I like to give. And Pastor Lewis knows, he knows I really like to give. Praise God. And I have, you know, I'm always looking for things to give, you know, give people. I just love to give. But, or so. As a matter of fact, he's already told me somebody, you know, that he wants us to, so I haven't told Pastor Lewis yet. It's one of our spiritual coverings. He already said what to do for the person and everything. And I know he'll provide the means to do it. To bless this individual. But there's one person, I haven't told Pastor, we're going to talk about this. There's one person, my flesh does not want to sow. I'm just being honest with you. Is that all right? I'm just keeping it real. I don't want to sow, Lord forgive me, into this person. You say, why? Because this person has done some horrible, 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 horrible things to me. And I'm still praying for the person. Every day I repent, Lord, you know, I forgive the person. You know, because I know I got to do that. Okay? And I love the person. The person's a Christian. But I've been instructed to give this person a ring that I had purchased for myself. Y'all haven't seen this ring. All diamonds, beautiful, gorgeous. I was even thinking about, well, I won't say who I was thinking about, but anyway. Person might say, well, don't do it. Give it to me. It's sitting on my jewelry box. It's been there for a week. I'm looking at it. And And I look at it, I said, Lord, I'm going to do it, Lord. I'm going to do it. But so I'm saying, you know, God wants us to be obedient to him and to sow, even, you know, regardless of how we feel. Amen. You know, it's easy to sow into some people, like, you know, I love sowing to you all. I do. But in the other instances, it's just not so. Now, I'm just keeping it real. And Lord told me to tell you that. So that must have been meant for somebody. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, let's look at, we close out with Mark 12. Amen. Mark chapter 12. And let's look at verse 44. I believe it's 44, Mark 12. This is a story about a poor woman. And this poor woman didn't have very much, but she gave everything. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which made a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which cast into the treasury, and all they that did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Say all. All her living. Now, share above or sow above, that's tithing, giving, giving back into God's kingdom, it's your local church, and share below. Now, Jesus was watching how the people gave. He was concerned. He was right there watching so he could see what the people were putting in the offering, in the plate. So God wants us to know that it's not how much you have, but the amount you sow of what you have. It's not how much you have. So you say, well, I don't have much. Doesn't matter. Are you doing it God's way? Now, here this woman didn't have very much, and she gave everything. And here, you know, there are rich men there, and they, you know, say somebody had $5 million. They may have given $1 million. That was a lot, right? But this woman gave more than that because she gave her all. She gave everything. And out of her giving, she would certainly reap more in this life and the life to come. So it's not, you know, how much you have, but the amount you give or sow of what you have. Amen. And God desires that we do things his way. Amen. God bless you. Father, we love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. And Lord, we rejoice in you, for you are the God of our salvation. We thank you for your word, Lord. And Father, I thank you. You've not given us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So I decree these words, Lord God, shall take root, Lord, in those that hear that hear it, and even as these messages go worldwide. And I thank you, Lord, for your people coming forth, Lord, as pure gold, as your manifested sons in the earth, mature, Lord God. Hallelujah. Not fearful, but going forth doing the greater works. In Jesus' name, can church say amen. And amen. God bless you. Praise God.